Hello everyone, welcome to Interfaces. My name is George. I'm starting a new podcast where I'll be hosting friends and interesting people to talk about technology and many other things. A couple of housekeeping items before I introduce Serge. The podcast is going to be mostly about tech and product, but here and there we might do different topics in different episodes. The second item is we will do mostly the podcast in English. So I debated whether I do it in Arabic or in English. And, you know, we decided to go for English to be able to reach more people. That being said, here and there, we might drop some Arabic. So if there's anything you don't understand, please let us know in the comments. Okay, this being said, let's move to the main stage and let me welcome Serge. Serge, welcome to Interfaces. I'm pretty psyched to have you in the first episode.
Thank you, George. glad to be here. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be the first guest on the show.
No, I'm super happy about that. Thanks for doing this. So Serge has a pretty interesting experience. So he moved from Lebanon to Montreal to McGill, and then he worked on an early stage startups, which is pretty different than most people. Most people go either to the very small two people founder startups or go to the, you know, big companies. And so Serge started in a pretty interesting place. And, you know, I would love to ask him more about that. And currently he worked at Snap, which is, you know, one of the most creative companies out there. We'll be mostly covering everything he did before Snap. But let's start with basically, you know, tell us a bit about your move to Montreal and how was the experience there?
Yeah, so we both came from the same high school. I guess people that will be listening to this would be interested in knowing that. When I graduated high school, you know, in Lebanon, everyone has the option or like to go to the schools over there, but not a lot of people have the option to leave Lebanon. For me, I just didn't want to stay. I was like that rebel that didn't like Lebanon, just wanted to leave. And so that kind of like pushed me to go to Canada right away. Canada, because like I just had the passport, like a lot of Lebanese that were born outside but lived in Lebanon. So it was easier for me to jump there. Went to Montreal again because I was born in Montreal, so it's easier for me. If you speak French and you live in Lebanon, you have the French or the Canadian passport, it's like the best way to get to North America. Moved there, didn't know it was going to be that cold, George. It was freezing.
It is cold, yeah. I heard about that.
Part of the reason why we're both in California right now, I guess. But
yes, it's raining now, though. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. but the good thing about Canada is that it's a best place to enter the U.S. without spending a lot of money, in the sense that for me, like my tuition and fees for an engineering degree was like 3-4K a year. And so I didn't have to spend way too much money to be able to get to the North American market. And so I moved to Montreal, graduated, and I was easily able to just, you know, move to the U.S. after that. But that was mostly it. I didn't have a plan to move to the U.S. before moving to Canada, but it just gives you the option to either stay there, move to Europe, come to the U.S., anything.
Well, and we should tell everyone that the high school is the Collège Saint-Joseph Antoura.
Yes, we gotta mention this.
we have to. pretty fun place. So everyone who's been to Montreal tells me like it's just like amazing place. I don't know what it is. But I don't know anyone who lived there who doesn't tell me about it. It's like a really fun place. And yeah. So is that what is like this like special about this city that everyone kind of talks about it or is nostalgic about it?
I think it's like for everyone, meaning like mostly people from our background, right? From Lebanon.
Yes.
It's like second Lebanon. I used to speak Arabic in Montreal more than I speak in Lebanon. So that's one. It's very easy to feel like you're at home. Two, if you're going there for college, it's a tiny city with maybe five or six colleges downtown. So it's just filled with young people. One major thing, also legal age is 18 over there. So lots of people have fun right away compared to the U.S. where you have to wait till you're 21.
Yeah, I have no idea why, but yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about this in a separate episode. But combining all of these together, you feel at home. At the same time, you're in Canada, new experience. It's college life filled with young people that just want to do the exact same thing as you. Like go to college, have fun. I think, and even like with the snow and the really cold temperatures, people have adapted to it. Like they're not going to stay at home just because it's cold. So people really try to go out every weekend, try to make the most out of it. There's even like festivals during the snow season, outdoor festivals, basically music festivals, and like negative 20 or negative 30 degrees. That's Celsius. I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but yeah, no idea. But I think combining all of these together, and obviously it's a beautiful city as well. It's just very easy for us Lebanese to adapt to this new culture right away and make the most out of it.
Yeah, I agree. It's still on my places to go. I still never been there.
We'll go next time together.
Okay, all summer.
Oh, for sure. You don't want to go in the winter.
Okay, so tell me, you know, you did your undergrad there, and then you joined a pretty interesting company, and it was a YC company. And so tell me more about that.
Yeah, so when I was in my undergrad, I entered at Amazon, like maybe the only big company I ever worked at ever since. I just didn't like big companies. I felt I wanted to do more. Like people always talk about like, oh, they want to have an impact, right? At the whatever they're working, like they want to actually ship code. They want to build new stuff. I didn't feel like I had this opportunity, the opportunity to do this at Amazon, and so I started looking at startups in general. And more specifically, fintech startups. Mostly, I don't know. I felt like there's two sectors that will always be in need: fintech or like finance and healthcare. So, but I just wanted to learn more about the finance industry, and so I started looking at fintech startups. Started chatting with LendUp randomly, just like cold message one of their recruiters. Telling them like, hey, I'm interested in your product. I know it's a Y Combinator company, so nice. That kind of like makes the whole startup even cooler. If you're in the tech space, you say Y Combinator, that's right away plus 10 points. But yeah, I mean, I just messaged a recruiter, and I was hoping to hear back from them. Started a conversation and flew there for the interview and everything. The cool thing about that company, LendUp, even though obviously it's a business, they want to be profitable. Their goal was always to help people with low credit scores to get out of their like non-ideal situation. In the U.S., if you have a low credit score, it's really hard to open an account or get a credit card or anything. So I like the fact that it's a fintech, but it kind of had a social mission. So really that was the thing that, okay, I'm working for a smaller company. I got a chance to discover a new field at the same time, between quotes, kind of helping people. That was it for me. I was convinced.
I didn't know they had this angle also of low credit score. That's pretty awesome.
The whole mission was like based on, there's a book called Banker to the Poor, one like Nobel Prize winner that started a bank in India and Bangladesh and was really like giving loans to the poor people to kind of like help them get out of their situation. And so the whole company was based on that book, the whole culture of it, which was really cool.
It's super, I didn't know, it's super interesting. It makes a lot of difference. And so like every company has like one, you know, couple of interesting characteristics or basically culture aspects. And so if you were to pick like the, you know, one or two, you know, really good habits that you picked up from LendUp or something that they do really good, you know, what would you say it is?
A huge focus on customers. We had something, we were forced, well, force is a really strong word, but encouraged. Let's say encouraged. We were encouraged to listen to customer calls, like live customer calls, all the engineers, 1 hour every quarter, basically. That's like the minimum. If you want to listen to more customer calls, that would be great. But really, it narrows the gap between us engineers and the actual end users. In most companies you work at, like, you engineers don't even interact with customers. They don't know anything. It's the PMs or sales team that reroute the messages to you. But at LendUp, they were really again encouraging us to listen to our end users, really trying to understand how our end users interact with the products, what are their main issues. So that was definitely one thing that LendUp did differently than other companies.
Well, I wish way more companies do this. It's like the amount that you learn. Yeah. It's like, what happens? You end up being in this like ivory tower, and it's like you don't get to see the real problems and the issues. And, you know, every time you kind of listen to customer issues, or anytime you get to kind of see what's happening, it just makes a big difference.
Well, there's the fact that if you're in the tech industry and you're in California, you're pretty much living in a bubble, in the sense that you assume that everyone has great internet speed, everyone has access to a computer, which is not necessarily the case with every single person. We're getting calls of people just like not being able to log in through like a slow internet connection, or some other issues that we never thought about. So that really helps you understand how people are interacting with your product.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, so moving on a bit. So you've worked with many engineers at LendUp, at Snap. And mm-hmm. So what would you say is like a really top, you know, three top qualities of a software engineer? Like what makes, if someone wants to kind of improve their software engineering skills, what would you say is like the top three that, or top two that they could kind of work on?
I think there's the typical things that you read on the blogs. It's kind of like cheesy, but it makes a lot of sense. You got like ownership. Whatever you build, make sure you're a full owner on it. If it breaks, or if someone has some feedback, take full responsibility for what you're doing, basically. And that includes if you're going to, use a new tool, make sure you fully understand it. So that's like the learning aspect of our job, where you really need to understand everything that you're doing and take full responsibility for it. That's one. Second, I would say at LendUp, my manager used to tell me the great engineers are the ones who are business oriented. We tend to be really focused on the small tasks that we work on a daily basis. Like a PM mentions, okay, this sprint, we're going to work on these tasks. And you don't, like, lots of us don't really think beyond that. We don't really try to understand the full picture. But I notice in general, engineers who really think, okay, what is the end goal in terms of from the business side, that can be very valuable for yourself and the company all in all. So yeah, being an owner and business oriented are the two things, at least for me, I try to focus on a daily basis and constantly improve.
That makes total sense. Like the difference between like having an ownership mindset, just like a game changer, and mm-hmm. like understanding the business behind the software and you know, the impact and all of that, just like super important. Yes, yeah. Like awesome. This is awesome.
I'm sure you do the same thing at Uber.
Yeah, we basically, it's even on, you know, it's funny you mentioned ownership. It's like one of the saying in Uber is like be an owner, not a renter. And it goes directly to that. It's one of those great things is once an engineer comes in and take responsibilities and has basically kind of, feels ownership about the product, the feature, it's just like a day and night kind of experience. So, and the business side is also super important. It's like you're not doing software for software, or, you know, you're just like applying them to the best places. And it's also an incredibly great advice. I completely agree.
But I think it's really easy to be an owner when things are going great. When, you know, things go south, you're starting to get paged, your company is losing money or a user is complaining. Then people sometimes start pointing fingers and all of a sudden you have zero ownership. That's when ownership should be actually applicable. Like when things go south, you gotta step in. Usually first reaction whenever I see something happening, something bad, like, I don't know, some latency issues or whatever it is, indirectly, I'm trying to see if I caused it or someone else caused it. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It's your software, it's your product, a project, your service. Take full ownership and fix it.
Yeah, it's like a leadership also kind of angle, right? Here. Also, it helps, you know, if the company sets up a culture of blameless and kind of encourages basically learnings, that also, you know, makes it way easier to kind of go and take up those tasks.
100%.
Awesome. This is really awesome two advices. That's great. Cool. So a bit more like, you know, where tech is moving. So we're kind of this world where things are in the cloud. We have an incredible penetration of mobile applications. And so what would you say like is one next frontier for tech? Where are things going?
Yeah, I don't want to say something and then in a year or two could be completely wrong. So I'm going to try to be vague just so I'm able to be a little bit, you know, correct.
It's always tough. It's always tough to kind of figure it out.
Predicting the future.
Yeah, it's like impossible.
If I was able to predict the future, I wouldn't be doing this podcast right now. I'd be in a mansion with...
What? I thought you would be doing that. Okay.
No, but so there's a lot of, I think, hype around, you know, the big topics that everyone's throwing around, cryptocurrency, autonomous vehicles. I don't know if we're going to see anything from these fields. I'm definitely keeping an eye on them. But I think one thing that would be interesting to see, I feel like people are becoming more and more aware of their privacy. I, for one, for example, try to use as many ad blockers that I can find, or try to reduce my exposure to Google or anything, just because I'm more privacy aware with everything that is happening. And you can even notice that Facebook, this is like their new strategy. They're going to focus on privacy, even said that. I think this might change the social media world a little bit, or it's just going to make it harder for us to develop social media application. So, partly because like people, that's what they want. And also because like we're seeing more regulations in Europe that started, like the whole GDPR thing that forces companies to share whatever data they have about their users for their users, obviously, if they request it, set up more strict retention policies, etc. And I think the US is following on that. In the next year or two, we're going to have more regulations in the social media or even any company that has user data. So I think this is going to affect tech, but it's not the cool thing about, like, it's not a cool project. It's just like thing that will affect how we think about software, I think, or any new application that will arise.
Privacy is going to become more and more important, especially if it starts affecting, things like election result or,
right,
or democracies, or, you know, it's just going to become super important. Yeah, makes sense.
How much do you care about privacy? Are you self-aware? I actually personally use DuckDuckGo, for example, if I can, rather than Google.
I do care a lot. Like it's super important, and you know, whatever we do, like it stays, it's just like stays forever. Yeah. And I do care. It's just, you know, one of the reason I use Snapchat. It's like super, it's like it's an easy way to kind of send messages, and so I do care about it. Sometimes, you know, you there's like this kind of convenience of a Gmail account or things like that, and so this is where it becomes basically a reputation of the company. And if basically they are privacy first, like Snap, or if they take it super seriously, then I think these companies are gonna end up benefiting in the future. So
I don't think it's like a company with the bad intentions. I think all of them right now are being just more aware that this is what a user wants. And all the big names from Google to Facebook to Twitter to Snap in the social media business or anything, they're just implementing more and more systems that make sure to respect the user privacy. And I, for one, I'm a huge fan of that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how this trend is gonna be in the future. I have a sense it will be spot on.
We'll see if this is spot on. We'll have another conversation on it.
Yeah, maybe. we'll go over. Yeah, what's next on that?
Sounds good.
Awesome. So, you know, besides tech, I know you are you have a great hobby. And so tell us more about it.
Yeah, this is the part where I get to boost my ego. I try to do weightlifting basically every single day, or maybe like six days a week. I think it's a good combination between, you know, during the day, as a software engineer, you're like constantly working and training your mind. So like it's nice to take 1 hour, 1 hour and a half off your day just like to train your body and make sure like everything is healthy and in place, if this is a good way to put it. But I think like that's part of just my main philosophy in general. Like try to be smarter, stronger every single day. I think it's also very like people are getting into meditation. I see lots of apps or like services to just meditate and take a moment out of your daily life. For me, this is where gym and working out and weightlifting comes in. It really helps me like forget, okay, all the issues that we've seen throughout the week or the day, and kind of like focus on something else.
And it's like super awesome to have a hobby. Like, you know, it's something you care about. It's something that's fun. And it's really hard. Like a lot of people, like, how did you get into the routine? Like, did you start kind of going in the morning or after work? And like, how did you get into the habit of it? Because it's, you know, a lot of people want to go to the gym and there's like very few people who can do it regularly or, you know, be disciplined about it.
Yeah, but you know how people say that if you don't, like once you start going for a while, and a while, I mean years, if you stop going to the gym, you'll feel bad. Like okay. lots of people say that. And for me, it's not just like a hobby. At this point, it's more a routine. You don't go to work because you want to go to work, because you have to. And same thing for me, like going to the gym. Even if I'm feeling lazy, I'll just go do like an easy workout, but I will still show up over there. So that's like my approach to working out in general. It's like, okay, that's something I have to do. If I don't have enough energy, I'll just take it a little bit easier on myself. And if whenever I have the energy, I'll go beast mode, basically.
Yeah, but it's kind of like show up and do it.
And if you just like don't feel like it, just go do a shorter workout, not necessarily an hour and a half, but at least go there. But it's you have to, in the beginning, it's kind of hard to get into this routine. I started early working out, and I've been working out ever since. Like it's been years ago, and so it's just something I do right now. I stopped enjoying it more than before, but because now it doesn't matter if I enjoy it or not, I'm still gonna show up. That's what I'm trying to do. It's something I have to take care of every single day, kind of like, I don't know, a feature that you have to ship or a bug that you have to fix. You got to go bench press that day.
Nice. It's kind of a good way to think about it.
Usually I have objectives during the week. I got to finish this thing and that thing, and I have to show up to the gym.
Nice. And it's a fun thing too. It's like it's just like you enjoy it. And so
Point I enjoy it less than before, but it's still I'll still show up. It doesn't matter if I'm enjoying it or not. I'll be there.
Nice Yeah. Awesome. Well, this is a wrap for us. Serge, thanks a lot. I could not have find a better first guest.
We've set the bar really high. The next guest better do like, you know, like this or even better.
We're gonna have a tough job. It's gonna be super hard.
Yeah. Also, I want to say that you're living in California in Silicon Valley, and you're doing a podcast. This is the peak of California life. Like the next thing you have to do is become vegan or something, and then you're pretty much have done it.
Yes, they do a lot of that too. Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
All righty. Thanks again, and bye for now.
Yeah, thank you, and good luck with the podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.